Welcome to the Rock of Ages Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Israel Soto. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit rockofagesaog.org.
Okay. I want you to do something very special today. I'm not going to preach very long, but I do want to give you two very important principles I want you to remember. I have titled this sermon today, obviously it's communion. I've titled this sermon simply, Forget Me Not. Everybody say, forget me not. We've all heard that term. We've heard it in songs. We've read it in books. We've heard people say it, forget me not. And this is what I want you to do. And it's a little, again, unorthodox. But I want you to do this. I want everyone here on this side of the church to please stand up. You guys stay right in your place. Everybody stand up. Everybody in obedience, stand up. Yes. Now you're going to do something else for me, okay? And you on social media, you're going to see this happen on social media. By the way, we welcome you and thank you for joining us in the comfort of your home. Come out and see us sometime. You won't regret it. The church says, amen. We welcome you and we miss you. I want all of you to quickly, because time is of the essence, to quickly step across the center aisle and come and say hello to somebody you don't know on this side. Quickly. Just move. Nobody move on this side. I want you to come and find somebody. If you don't know them, all the better. Just go there and say hi. You, if you want to honor them by standing and giving them a hug, please do that. Social distancing is okay. Find somebody. Every single person. Find somebody. Find somebody. And just welcome them. Make sure this is someone you don't know. You guys, don't be embarrassed. Just stay where you're at. Everybody quickly go. Now, I don't want you to start planning dinner and parties and all these things. I simply want you to go and say hi and say hello. Say hello. Say hello. Say hello. There's plenty of people over here. We don't want anyone to miss anybody. You see somebody standing there or sitting there with nobody saying hi, go out there and reach out to them and just hug them. If they're practicing social distancing, we'll respect that and just kind of give them a fist or just wave at them. It's okay. It's okay. We're still taking care of each other in this tough time that we're going through. Just say hi. Okay. Some people may not be used to hugging right now because of the situation, and we respect that. So just kind of wave at them. But we don't want anybody without somebody saying hi. Saying hi. Say hi. Amen. Okay, don't start any lengthy conversations, okay? We'll be here till about 6 o'clock in the afternoon. Okay, and once you're done, please come back and take your seat. Take your seat. Take your seat, yeah. I hope you said hello to somebody you didn't know. Somebody that maybe you've seen in the church, but you didn't know. Just kind of, again, just give them a fist bump, a hug if they want, or just wave at them. Whatever makes them comfortable and you comfortable as well. Just say hi. Just say hi. Okay, everybody, we want you to make your way back to your places, please. We want you to make your way back. Amen. Amen. Yes, yes. Yes, everybody, everybody, everybody. Did everybody get greeted on this side? Can you say amen? Okay, isn't that awesome? Yeah, that's awesome. They look beautiful from this side. I hope our camera guys picked that up. It was awesome. Okay, everybody take your seat. We've got just one more thing we need to do. I want you to pull out your wallets. No, just kidding. Just kidding. Relax. I saw some of you going like, I told you. No. Keep your wallets in your pocket. We'll pull those out later. Okay, everybody in their place, I want you to stand up on this side. Every one of you stand up. Every one of you stand up. Okay. Amen. Some of you, again, I say to you, some of you are practicing social distancing, and that's okay. Just kind of wave. But I want everyone on this side to step over here and say hello to somebody that you didn't say hello to. If this person on this side said hello to you already, find somebody else. Quickly move. Quickly move, quickly move. Everybody on this side. That's okay. Just wave at them. Just wave at them. Just give them a fist high, whatever you want. Whatever makes you comfortable. Don't make anybody uncomfortable. We understand the whole circumstance and situation. We want to be careful always. Just say hi. Just say hi. Just say hi. Make it all the way across and say hi. Say hi. Say hi. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Just say hi. Say hi. That's okay. Awesome. 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 Yeah. Once you've said hi to somebody, you can start making your way back, and we're done pretty much with this. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I hope everyone at least got to shake somebody's hand or wave at them and say hi. Somebody you didn't know, but you've seen at church, but you just hadn't had a chance to greet them. So important, so important. Yes. All right, let's start making our way back. I've got a 7-point sermon I have to preach. All right, all right. By the way, at this end, it looks beautiful. It looks so awesome to see the joy, to see the fellowship. We know that this COVID thing has destroyed much of the harmony amongst us because, again, we take it seriously. We do. We disinfect before and after. And I know that you guys wash your hands, okay? And so we're taking care of each other. But it's good to say hi. It's good to say hello. Just because we have this thing and we're wearing face masks doesn't mean you can't say hi like this or this or this or whatever, okay? It's important for that. And we're going to discuss that this morning just a little bit. Everybody say, forget me not. Forget me not. I'd like to read this morning's passage out of the book of Luke chapter 22, verse 14, if you would. If you have your Bibles, turn there. If not, look at the big screen. We will oblige you with this verses to read along in concert with us. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. But the hand of him, he says, is going to betray me, is with mine on the table. The Son of Man will go as it has been decreed, but woe to that man who betrays him. And they began to question among themselves which of them it might be who would do this. The Lord bless his word. Can you say amen? Forgetfulness, though we often laugh when we forget things, at the bottom of this whole forgetfulness issue, it really isn't funny to be forgetful. It really isn't funny. Sometimes we make fun out of the fact that we don't remember things. I was reading this old, common, well-known, monotonous, seems like funny. You've heard of the three elderly ladies that were discussing their trials in life and body as they're getting older, sitting at the table drinking coffee. And one said, sometimes I catch myself with a jar of mayonnaise in my hand in front of the refrigerator, and I can't remember whether I was going to put it away or start making a sandwich. The second lady chimed in, if you will, says, yes, sometimes I find myself on the landing of the stairs, and I can't remember if I was on my way up or if I was on my way down. And the third one, the smart one, obviously, Say, well, I'm glad I don't have that problem. And she makes a fist and she says, oh, excuse me, I think someone's at the door. Forgetfulness. Have you ever walked into a room and in a second wonder, what am I doing here or why did I come into this room? Or when you decide to put something important away, and you say, I'm going to take this and I'm going to put it right there in this cupboard and I'm going to make it safe so I know. Well, it's safe all right, but it's safe from you ever finding it again. Because you don't remember where you put that thing. Or maybe you've been at the store, and this is quite common, and I don't want to admit it, but I must because I'm standing on holy ground. That you walk into the store, and you see somebody, you go, hi, and here they come, and you're looking at them, and how are you, Pastor? I'm doing great. How are you? Doing good, you know, and here we go, start telling the stories and all these things, and your wife is there chiming in, and oh yeah, well good, all right, well it's good to see you, all right, God bless, and you walk away, and you look at the wife, and they're, who are they? That happens to me a lot. That's why I decided that everyone's name is brother or sister. Forgetfulness. Seriously, forgetfulness is not a very funny thing. And often laughter masks the importance of it. It often just covers up the fact that something really is happening in us that is causing us not to have a total recall or recollection of something in particular, even though it happened 30 minutes ago. In serious form, we have today a disease called Alzheimer's disease. Yes? And it's so sad to see that this particular realm of people in this world who suffer of this disease, they seem to drift off into a foreign world of their own, leaving behind a world that at one time was so common for them. Just like you and I, they lived in this world knowing where McAllen was and Edinburgh and where the courthouse was and the doctor's office and what street is here and where's the nearest HEB. And when they saw their neighbor, they knew them by first name. And when they went to work, they knew their fellow peers by first name. All these things, when a person begins to suffer of this forgetfulness, if you will, they begin to drift off into a world of now illusions and abstract imaginations. It's not funny anymore. Forgetfulness. Forgetting is a serious matter, especially when it comes to our spiritual lives. In this case that we just read about, we find Jesus about to share his last meal with his men. But because he knows every fiber of what we are made and what can happen metabolically and physiologically in our bodies, he would decide to address everything he could to help those men with us and all of us for that matter here today getting ready to participate of this holy meal. He decided to do something because he knew that forgetfulness can bring many times and for many people eternal consequences. He knew that the men that were with him at that table, as every one of us here 2,000 years later, were all potential victims of forgetfulness. And so for that reason, Jesus builds the plan for his church, a very simple, inexpensive, and easily available therapy that can prevent or help prevent and cure spiritual forgetfulness. On the night before the cross, Jesus broke unleavened bread and blessed it, a cup of the fruit of the vine, and gave it to his disciples. And he said to them these words that we all know verbatim: "Do this in remembrance of me." And so hence we see the birth several years before, as we know what it represents, the Passover for the people of Israel, when the Lord delivered them from the angel of death while captive in the grips of Pharaoh's iron fist. And so he gave us at that moment the Lord's Supper, which you and I now understand it and relate to it as communion, or the Last Supper, if you will. And now for 2,000 years, every believer of every language that bears the name of Christ in their heart partake of this meal. Let it be every Sunday. Let it be every first Sunday. For us, it's every first Sunday of the month. Some people partake of it every day. But they do this in every language, every nation and tribe. They do this. They participate in this plan of God. And this is a good thing to do. And this is why we are doing it today. There was a study years ago, and they brought in some nurses, and one specifically that they wanted to speak to, a nurse that worked with people that suffered of Alzheimer's disease. And they would decide to sit down and converse with her and talk to her of the difficulties of her job and what exactly pertained to being a job or a nurse, really, to people that suffered of this deficiency. The nurse that was interviewed introduced herself by name and said, "I am the MLA, memory loss assistant." And when asked how she went about working with her patients, she explained it very simply this way. She said, "Well, we talk to the patients and we read them books. Once a day, we work through a series of patterning exercises. We make them think and try to articulate and work things out with their minds. Generally, we help them with basic life functions so that they retain as much activity as possible during the day. This is a continual working as an MLA." They asked her exactly what they talked about with their patients as they gave them this particular part of therapy. And her response was profoundly theological. She said, "Well, we give them first their names. Very basic, very foundational. They first need to never forget their names. That is the basis, if you will, the foundation of their knowledge of their existence, their name. Then we remind them of names of their family members. One by one, if possible, they would bring pictures out and say, 'Do you know who this is?' And they'll sit there and go like, 'Oh, that's my granddaughter, that's my son, my cousin, my friend, my boss, a friend that I know for years.' Do you know their names?" And they will practice and rehearse names. We remind them of the significant things, she said, as we asked their family members, what did they like to do? Well, they like to fish, they like to hunt, they like to do word puzzles, or whatever it is. And they would remind them of things that were significant in their life and remind them of how they enjoyed it and see how much they could draw them to desiring those things again, so they would not lose consciousness of the world they used to live in, because they see them on a daily basis drifting off. He said, in a nutshell, as she closed after this interview, she said, Basically, we do everything we can to give them confidence and hope. If I can tell you something personal, and this is not in my notes, but it just drops in my spirit right now, and I can share this with you. When I was going through this whole situation before my transplant, there's something very dangerous that a person who suffers from liver cirrhosis can very easily go through, and that is the overpowering influence and chemical imbalance of getting ammonia. I have Brother Chapa here who is a nurse, and he understands that. All the nurses that we have here, you understand ammonia. And so therefore your diet has to be certain things that will not increase that. And I never suffered of that once. I always took care of myself. But one time, and I missed Sunday morning's church. You didn't know where I was, but on Friday before Sunday, I began to feel funny, tired. And I was glassy-eyed, and I didn't realize these things, but I would just stay in a blur just looking. And then I had a serious urgent desire to just go to sleep. And so that Friday, my wife will be a witness, as my children are. I went to sleep Friday night. I didn't have dinner, and I went to sleep. And then Saturday, I woke up in the morning, and I still felt funny, and something was blurry inside my brain and my body. I felt something. But I just wanted to go to sleep. And again, all Saturday, I must have spent 15, 16, 17 hours in my bed. My wife would come and say, "Honey, do you want breakfast?" And I would open my eyes and I'd go like, "No." And then she'd come back at dinner time. She says, "Here's your food." I said, "What is that?" She goes, "It's your food. You said you wanted to eat." I said, "I never told you I wanted to eat. I need to sleep. Please leave me alone." This is Saturday night. Sunday morning comes along and I wake up and it's late. I'm normally here by 8 o'clock. And now it's 9:30 or so, almost 10 o'clock. And I get up and I go, "Oh, my goodness, what time is it?" And she goes, "It's 9:30. "Oh, Lord." And I got up and I took a shower and I went into the closet and I got my stuff that she had prepared for me. And I'm getting ready. And she says, "Where are you going?" And I said, "Don't mess with me, you know, where I've been going for the past 36 years, to work. I'm going to church." He goes, "You can't go anywhere." "Huh? Honey, you can't go anywhere like that." I said, "What?" I turned around and I took my couch and I put my head in my hands. And I went blank. The next thing I know is that she had called some of her family and my brother-in-laws and to come in, and the kids. And every one of them came. They said, "Are you okay?" And I would look at them and say, "What? What's the matter? What are you feeling? Huh?" I didn't know what to say. I had no grip of memory. I knew what I wanted to say somewhere inside the emptiness of my brain. I wanted to reach the thought, and I knew, and they brought Mia in and my babies. They know how much I love them, and surely they would drag me into reality again. "Oh, Mia. Hi, Mamacita. Come here, darling." It meant nothing to me. I lost it all. I had nothing else to do but to go back to bed and call Houston by emergency. "You're having service at this time." Only I took off Monday morning early, and they took me to Houston. They found out that my ammonia was super high. I had lost my complete thinking and memory. It wasn't until they medicinally, they helped me and everything came back, and I felt like I was landing on a parachute. All of a sudden, I could see the earth, and I was coming down until finally I went, oh, man, what a ride. Where was I? I was in Houston now. But I lost my, I forgot everything. And I realized at that moment how terrible it must be for someone with Alzheimer's. I cried because I like to think I'm a stable-minded individual. I don't think I'm all wacky and thinking of all things and my mind runs crazy. No, I like to, I've always been a very settled, mindful individual. I don't panic over anything. Nothing emotionally disturbs me. I can see ugly accidents. I saw many ugly surgeries and all these things when I was a nurse. All these things, and nothing moved me to the point where I'm going like, So the control factor in me was very insulting to me that I lost that. That I could not control my thought pattern. I could not talk to my wife and say, hey, is it hot outside? You want to go to the store? Forgetfulness. It's a horrible thing. And all of us are potential to that. We have a possibility of being victims of this forgetfulness, maybe not in the ammonia factor like I did, but just forgetting things. And what is proof of that? That you all said amen, that sometimes you forget where you put your wallet. That sometimes you forget why you went to the store and to get what. You'll go up there to go get bread and you come back with milk. Forgetfulness. This table comes to serve us as that nurse served people with Alzheimer's. This is the MLA table, if you will. This is going to remind us. This is why the Lord said, do this in remembrance. This table should remind us a lot of things. Too many to mention from this pulpit today. And so if I can, I will just give you two simple things. Two very important things that I believe will help us keep and stay sober and thoughtful and mindful as we live out our lives as we wait for Jesus. This table demands of us that we remember that we are all sinners saved by grace. I know that that's probably the last thing you want this table to remind you of. But it indeed comes to remind us of where we came and how we ended up in this church house today, lifting up holy hands and worshiping the Lord and praying the Holy Spirit to come and rest on us. Where did all of this begin? Where are our origins? And that we were all short of the glory of God. That you and I were all sinners saved by grace. Again, I say this table comes to remind us of what I'm sure we would prefer to forget. The fact that all of us were sinners. Sometimes we actively disobey His commands, even though we know better. Sometimes we do it passively by doing nothing when we know we should do certain things. You see, sin is more not only an action, but it's an attitude. You don't have to do things physically to be in sin. The mind is so involved. The attitude, the character is so involved in offending God. The arrogance of man says to himself, I can get along without God. Sin and rebellion is something, nothing to do with me. But what does the Bible say in 1 Corinthians 4 and 6? Now, brothers and sisters, I have applied these things to myself and Apollos for your benefit, so that you may learn from us the meaning of this saying. Do not go beyond what is written. And what is written? That you and I, unless God had reached for us, we would be all lost. that every single one of us in this place, we're all lost without God. You see, when we remember that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not simply telling you it's going to remind you to keep you in a place of condemnation. No. There's such a great benefit when we remember who we were. Not that we dwell in that sinful world or embarrass ourselves by going back and feeling all embarrassed about how we used to live and what we used to do. No. But it reminds us of where we were, and therefore that kills arrogance, that kills prejudice, that kills pride, that kills autosufficiency, that kills the attitude of suppressing other people. Why? Because we all come from the same place. Paul writes in the same passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, in verse 7, he says, "For who makes you different from anyone else? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, then why do you boast as you did not?" This table reminds us, ladies and gentlemen, it takes us back to the reality that we, all of us, were helpless sinners. And we could do nothing to save ourselves. Today we are saved by grace, because Jesus gave his life for you and I. We need to remember that Jesus made all the difference in our lives. 1 Corinthians 6 and 9, the Bible reminds us, "Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor the idolaters or adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God." And this is what some of you were. Say were. That's very important. He says, "But you were washed and you were sanctified and you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." You see, when you remember the fact that all of us were short of His glory, it kills all judgment, indifference, arrogance, pride, and segregation. It makes all races equal. It makes all men high on the corporate ladder and under a bridge in the city, standing on level ground. There's no one better than the other, for all of us were born in sin. Communion reminds us of who we really were. Therefore, it'll give us grace to help those who today are to become were like us. We thank God for this table. Remember that without this table, we could easily forget that it was by His grace and His love that all of us are here. Can you say amen? Amen. Secondly, the Lord's Supper helps us also to remember something very important that I believe is very easily forgotten in the church. There's a certain forgetfulness in all of us around the world, and that is that we are a family. That we are a community of unified people. You know, I was thinking this past week, this last week that we came to church, I saw a certain bubbliness, if that's such a word, a certain excitement in the church, because we saw people that we have not seen in over the year, a year, because of this whole thing we've been through. They started coming into the church. And I remember I was walking this way when I saw Sister Loma walk in with her children. I saw Sister Sylvia dancing in the church. And I saw Sister Castillo and Sister Ansaldúa and God knows who else I saw. But I saw, and I then not only that, but I came back and I stood here and I saw how everybody was embracing these people. And I saw great joy. I saw the church bubble up, just get excited, because kind of like a soldier that was out at war, a son just came home safely. Such a joy, and it really brought great joy to me in my heart to see that. That the church would show such an emotion, such a loving emotion to those that we have not seen And there are many on social media today. And again, we respect why they're still home. But I cannot wait to see many of them. Because it's been a long time. But that's because we all in our hearts have something innately that God has deposited. And that is the reality that because of the blood of Jesus, that one fiber, that one strand of His love brings us all together as a family. And you love your family. You embrace your family. Back to the MLA nurse who was being interviewed. She said, we sit down with these people who forget and we remind them of friends, family, and possibly even of a departed spouse. We show them pictures of loved ones and help them remember and reenact some familiar activities that remind them of their present world and their reality as they knew it. We sometimes forget who we are in Christ. You see, I look at the church and I see it. If you look at the church spelled, you'll see church, a C-H-U-R. But the true church isn't spelled C-H-U-R-C-H. It's spelled F-A-M-I-L-O-Y. Family. And today, ladies and gentlemen, you see it all the time. People disconnect themselves from the big church. That is the building, the organization, the denomination, the politics of the church, and what have you. And they live for that particular big C church. Or sorry, the little C church. That little C church that handles all the material things and all the things that could go wrong with the air conditioning and all that. People embrace becoming one with the venue, with the organization, with, again, the teacher, the pastor. All these things is political things that move about. And so in a moment's time, because they disconnect themselves from the big C, they pay attention to the little C, and here they go. They run off, and they're angry, and they leave, and they go and hide away somewhere else, thinking they're going to go and find that perfect place they need. But all they're looking for, again, is for the little C. And they'll walk into another venue, and they'll embrace the venue. They'll embrace the activities. They'll embrace whatever it is that's going on. And they forget about the big C, which is really the important part of the church. And that is the community of people. It forgets us, the family. It forgets that we are one, you and I, together. The Lord broke this communion table in many pieces, but it all came from one bread. I said the Lord took a piece of this bread and gave them to eat, but it all came from one loaf. He gave them to drink, but it came out of one wine chalice. And we pay more attention to the bottle it came from and to what plastic wrapped the loaf that we forget the wine and the bread. And so you have so much discord amongst the church. See, these elements are here to remind us that we are one. We share a common heritage. We share a common Heavenly Father, a common Savior, a common faith, a common destiny, a common need to serve and support one another. Every one of us in this place, I don't care what part of the world you come from, you are my brother and my sister. If you bear the name of Christ in your heart, you've been washed in the blood, if you are filled with God's Spirit and you desire nothing else but to serve and to worship Him, then we are one together in Him. It's when you forget that, that you begin to label yourself and separate yourself and you begin to disagree, you begin to bicker because now you've lost sight of who we are. You have forgot. Alzheimer's, spiritual Alzheimer's, has taken control of your heart. 1 Peter 2:10. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you, everybody say you. Turn around and tell your neighbor, you. Now the neighbor, turn around and tell him, you have received mercy. You see, if there's anything I could say to you this morning, remember this one thing. When Jesus gave himself, he not only gave himself, but he gave us each other. When Jesus gave us himself, he not only gave us himself, he gave us each other. He commanded us to love God, but he also commanded us to love one another. Communion we share this morning is more than communion with God. It's communion with each other. Our communion with each other, we together are the body of Christ. Listen again to Peter's words and notice that when he says you, he doesn't mean individual believers, but believers in general, all together, joined one another in the new experience of Christ's community. He says, but you are, in 1 Peter 2 and 9, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Community. Isn't it interesting that we forget community, we forget fellowship, we forget the fact that we're all together, bound together by the blood and the work of Christ. We forget that. And we see in this world today, did you know that banishment and isolation and loneliness is one of the biggest enemies of the human heart? The fear of banishment and exile, solitary confinement. If you've ever talked to a prisoner, that when they get in trouble, they throw them inside this prison cell by themselves for however many months, days, and sometimes years. I was ministering to a prisoner one time, or an ex-prisoner, if you will. And I was witnessing to him, and we sat down together, and he began to tell me stories of him being in prison. And he said, you know what, Pastor? He says, I did 8 years. And I said, wow, better you than me, man. I can't imagine being in prison for 8 years. He says, you know, when I got my cellie, that is his partner in his cell, I was there before by myself. He says, and after about a month or two, I got this new guy came in. He said, and for 6-7 months of his stay with me, he did nothing but take his chair against the wall and cry 24/7. Cried like a baby. And this guy would, I mean, he was trying to sleep, and this guy was crying. He'd go up and say, hey man, listen, how much time you doing? He said, I'm going to be doing 5 years. Dude, this is 5 days, man. Relax. Unpack your stuff. You're going to be here for a while. You better get used to it. This is home for now. No! And he would cry and throw himself on the floor. He said, man, Pastor, I wrestled with this poor guy so long, tried to convince him to stop crying, that this was it. And what was he crying about? The fact that he was separated by himself to a place all alone away from his family. And every time the prison guard would come, he'd yell, let me talk to the warden, tell him I repent and I'll never do that again. Please, I don't belong here. Please, please. And they'd cry. And you know, today in this world, that same feeling, it fears a lot of people. But that shows you the strength of the innate desire that God gave us for community. Losing community, ladies and gentlemen, losing your family, your friends, or your church strikes a severe blow in your emotional status and your spiritual security. We have to always remember that the church is not a building, ladies and gentlemen. The church is not the assemblies of God or the Baptist movement or the Anglican church or what have you. That's not it. That's the little C. The big C is us. When Jesus gave his life, he not only gave us himself, but he gave me to you and you to me. The church is more than just committees and programs and budgets. More than baptism, confirmation, or membership role. It's more than denominational structure. It's more than that. It's you and me. Forget me not. Today's scripture pleads with us to give ourselves our proper place in the body of Christ. We all have the potential, as many have, suffer spiritual Alzheimer's disease and forget who the church is and how the same you are as I am and how the same I am as you are. We all stand on level ground before Christ. We all came from the same trash can that God pulled us from. That every single one of us today are on a journey to get to heaven. And the very same fiber and flesh of which we are made, all of us suffer with that. The same feelings, the same hurts, the same joy, the same laughter, the same everything we all go through together. If you'll just not forget that, you'll find that your eyes will open and look at the church in a different way. This is when you'll see someone make a mistake and say, he's just like me. He'll get through it. When you see someone fall to their knee, and you'll always reach out and help them up and say, you know why? Because that could be me. Get up. Let's go. Forget me not. Forget me not is what the Lord requires of us. The church is not some isolated, single brick building. But we are indeed brought together by the fiber of his blood, his body, his love, his purpose, his plan. You and me. We are to be living stones, building that true church of Christ. Communion this morning, I pray you would come as I ask the ushers to come, please. You would come with a willingness to be and to have communion with the Father, but also a willingness in your heart to accept the communion we are to have with each other. You see, this is why I had you guys cross over and say hello. We've been coming to this church for so long that you've seen each other, I'm sure, more than one time, but you've never stopped to say hello and say, how you doing, man? My name is Israel. Hi, my name is. But I saw everybody right now as you were crossing over, how you were smiling. Hey, hi, how are you? You just met your brother. You didn't know it was your brother. You met your sister. You met that young man, that young lady. Say, hi, how are you? You're a part of me, aren't you? Yeah, I am. I'm a child of God as you are. Washed in the blood just as you are. On my way to heaven just like you. Making mistakes and rubbing shoulders with things I shouldn't just like you are. Falling short a time or two and sometimes more than we'd like. But just like you, we're heading out towards heaven. Jesus sat down at this table and he knew that his boys were going to risk, just like all of us, contracting Alzheimer's, spiritual Alzheimer's disease. And that's why he sat there and he said, forget me not. Forget me not. And I pray today that none of us in this place would ever forget us, you and me. Don't forget that we were all brought about with the same mercy, the same love. that the very same spirit you rejoice in is no better than the one I have inside of me. It's the same one. The same heaven you were working to get to is the same place. You better like me now because we're going to live up there together. Amen? So don't waste time drinking the blood of others. You're drinking your own. Don't waste time being offended and being different, indifferent of everybody else, and being so competitive and suppressing people and hurting people. Help them. They're yours. They're like you. Just like you. Forget me not. I pray that this communion table will remind you of who we are. We're the Big C Church. Not the little church. The little church can stay here. It's the big church we should be concerned about. We are the body of Christ. Would you stand to your feet with me, please? Ushers, if you would. Heaven is for us. The Holy Spirit that you cried out this morning to say rest on us is going to be the same Spirit that all of us share. The same forgiveness, the same mercy, the same promises are the ones we will share unified together as one. If you'll believe that and not forget that, you'll see that all this other junk that comes to get in your way will begin to dissipate and fall away, and you'll be much happier serving the Lord that you serve today. Can you say amen? Amen. We're going to participate of communion today. And we're going to forget who we used to think we were. But we're now going to remember who we truly are in Christ. Who we are to each other. This little thing that we did this morning, don't forget we did that. I may have us do that every Sunday morning, just in case someone is getting Alzheimer's disease. Let this table remind us of family and serious activities that we do together as we pray. Let us look at ourselves and picture ourselves in our hearts and say, these are my family. I love Rock of Ages. I wrote something on Instagram this week as I gave the Lord praise for the findings in my results. I said, you are the reason why I always wanted to come home. And I want you guys to know that because you are my family. If there was something that encouraged me to fight and to want to come home, was you. To get through my testings and everything else and go through the suffering, and they tell me I was going to have to stay 2 or 3 days, and I kind of kicked my feet. Why? Because I wanted to come home. I wanted to come home to what I was familiar with, which is you. When I was on my way home, I promise you those 5.5, 6 hours from Houston seemed like an eternity. Why? Because I knew I had family waiting for me here at home. To be alone in a room because of this COVID thing and have no visitors and be isolated by yourself, that's probably what hurt me the most in this whole thing that I've been through. The fact that I couldn't see my own. And I'm thankful today because now there's nothing that's going to interrupt my fellowship with you. I have you here and you have me here. And I pray today in Jesus' name that you would be thankful that you have me here, because I'm certainly happy and thankful that I have you here. I miss you every time. Those of you at home, listen to me carefully. We miss you here. We miss you here with us. It's going to be so awesome to see the grand entry when you come in. You'll see that all these people that are here are rejoicing. And we'll rejoice and celebrate when we see you come back to the house of God. This is the Big C Church. This is the real church. You are the real church. Tell your neighbor, you are the real church.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Join us next time for another uplifting message. If you'd like to support this ministry and the reaching out of others, you have the opportunity to give at rockofagesaog.org/give.